It is critical you pay attention at this time. The following program is being broadcast to all fans of Nova and for the preservation of the Zandarian homeworld's culture. I am the world mind and I am turning control over to my human host.
Welcome to a new episode of Zandar Radio. I'm Doug Smith, also known online as Nova64, and I run the Nova Prime page at novaprimepage.com. In August, we saw the release of Guardians of the Galaxy number 17, which continues the enormous cosmic event called The Last Annihilation. I know it sounds like I simply repeat the previous mini-reviews I do of the Guardians, but I really love this series. Al Ewing wrote another really solid issue as the war against Dormammu continues on. The issue has the Guardians' united front begin to crack a bit when most of the team decides to follow Dr. Doom's plan to stop Dormammu. However, Rich Rider Nova decides to go with his gut instinct that tells him they can't trust Doom. Disagreement leads to a surprising ally go to Nova's side. It was a bit unexpected to see Gamora go to Rich. She trusts Nova's instincts and feel he is right in this situation. Rich Rider's instincts later prove valid as Dr. Doom appears to betray the Guardians and makes a move to take command of most of Dormammu's army for his own purposes. However, it may be a moot point as Dormammu himself crosses over into the universe at the end of the issue. Also out in August by Al Ewing was Immortal Hulk number 49. Rich Rider Nova is only in 3 pages, which is actually not as small an amount as it sounds, since the whole issue was single pages. He's with a group of Avengers who are at the Baxter Building to confront the Hulk. Although we don't get to see Nova do much more than fly around, with the assumption he's giving his fair share in the fight, it was nice to see him called in as a big gun. I'm tempted to call this a Secret Avengers appearance, since Steve Rogers is the one leading the group of Avengers. Steve must have known Rich was back in the solar system and contacted him, as Cap most likely still regards him as a secret Avenger. As for continuity placement, I'm going to put this between Guardians of the Galaxy number 15 and number 16. He's obviously on Earth, and the last time we saw him home was when the Guardians met the folks from S.W.O.R.D. And by number 16, Rich was back out in the galaxy. Al Ewing's run on the Immortal Hulk is really something else. Al takes the Hulk story and turns it from a superhero angle into basically a horror comic. And the art by former Nova artist Joe Bennett is super. He gives the title an almost creepy vibe to it, which goes perfectly with Al Ewing's writing. Highly recommended series. Moving on, it's time again for Nova Trivia. I'll ask a question and give the answer at the end of the program. This month's question goes back to the original Annihilation series. What was the name of the home planet of the villain who attempted to take over the universe? So let's now go to the Nova Newsroom for updates on the human rocket.
The Nova Newsroom.
Let's begin the news by taking a look at Nova-related titles scheduled to be released in November. Unfortunately, this is a very short news segment, as there are no Nova-related titles appearing in November. According to Champions writer Danny Lore, Champions number 10, which is out in October, will be the final issue of the series. Guardians of the Galaxy also did not have a solicitation listed for November. This appears to only be temporary and should be back in the solicitations for December. However, there is good news about the Hasbro Nova action figure, which is part of their Marvel Legends set. The figure began appearing in the United States at Walgreens stores in August. The Nova figure is exclusive to Walgreens in the U.S., but can also be found at EB Games in Canada or through various outlets online. The Topps Company released more Nova digital cards in its Marvel Collect app. Rich Rider Nova appears on 3 cards in the Takeoff set, 2 cards in the King in Black set, 5 cards in the CMYK set, along with Star-Lord, and on 1 card of the Editor's Choice set. Sam Alexander Nova appears on 3 cards in the nicely designed Supreme set. As always, if you're interested, images of the items mentioned in this news segment can be found at novaprimepage.com. And now I'd like to introduce the newest segment of the podcast called Qubits.
Qubits.
Qubits features shorter interviews with creators than would normally be in the Studio 64 segment. As for the segment's name, Qubits is short for Question Bits. It's also a homage to the synth organic NovaCore member named Qubit from the Abnett Lanning Nova series. This first installment is an interview with the late Carmine Infantino, who was one of the artists on the original Man Called Nova series in the 1970s. A little background on this. It is part of an interview I conducted back in 2007 as part of my research for a Nova article I was writing for Tomorrow's Back Issue magazine. Due to Mr. Infantino's lack of email, it was done over the telephone. Also, keep in mind that digital technology wasn't what it is today, so what you are hearing is a phone call recorded on cassette tape and then digitized. So while it may sound like a bad 911 recording, I hope you'll find the content interesting.
Do you recall how you got the Nova assignment?
That was sent to me by Marvel, I believe. I think, what's his name wrote it?
Marv Hoffman?
Yeah, I think he requested me, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, great.
I think, I'm not certain about that. You like the character?
I'm sorry?
You like the character?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's one of my favorite series, actually.
Yeah, it was quite good, quite good.
Do you remember what it was like to work with Marv?
It's very simple. I never saw him.
They
just sent the scripts over, and I went on my own from there.
Okay.
The was quite loose. The editorial business. You know, they'd mail me scripts. I'd do them, send them back. That was it.
Okay. One thing I was kind of wondering about, back in Nova 19, Wally West made an appearance from the DC universe, and Marv kind of wrote that into the back. Do you remember
how did he get away with that? Didn't DC complain?
No.
I'm surprised. Who did they put in there?
It was Wally West, Kid Flash.
You're kidding.
No.
And he got away with it? I don't remember that.
Marv couldn't recall if you had put it in, he wrote around it.
Oh, I would have done it on my own. That's dangerous. And if he's in there?
Yeah.
I don't have any copies of it. Why did I check it? But, and it's really Wally, it was just the name Wally West.
Yeah, it was, Marv wrote Wally's name.
Oh,
well,
but you can't do much about that, you know. I'm sure it's just a character. It wasn't a custom guy.
Okay.
I don't think so. Anyway. I don't remember that. I tell you, at least he would have checked that they will go and answer them for that if any of that happened. You can use a name like that, you know, if it's not the same character.
Okay, and there were some really great characters during your run, like Blackout and the Crime Buster and
right.
The Comet. Do you recall any of the inspirations you had for those designs?
No. I just did it when they came, you know. As I read it, I went through it and then created something from what I read.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Well, that was pretty much all the questions I had.
Yeah.
Do you recall any particular anecdotes or anything?
No, because I didn't really enjoy the character that much. I'm being honest with you now. Then I think I went from there to the Star Wars. Am I correct? I think I did the Star Wars after that. After Nova. I think. I'm not certain.
Okay.
And then I got heavy into that, and that was the end of the Star Wars. But somebody else took it over, though, didn't they?
The Nova guy canceled at 25. And
was that mine?
Yep, that was yours.
Isn't that crazy, huh? I guess they didn't want to go any further with it, huh?
Yeah.
Coming up is the Learn More in Studio 64 segment, featuring a roundtable session looking at the remaining issues of Nova's 1994 solo series and more issues of the original New Warriors series.
Learn more in Studio 64.
Welcome to a new edition of Learn More in Studio 64. I'm joined by Corey Blake and Don Sweetcakes Lund as we're going to conclude our look at Nova's 1994 solo series, along with moving over to continue with more issues of the New Warriors first series. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey, you know, we should explore sometime that the reason I have Sweetcakes as a nickname.
Should we, though?
Well, maybe we shouldn't. We could just refer listeners to the last episode. So, okay, so I think if chronologically, we're going to start with the New Warriors, where we left off before. We'll pick up with number 51 and work our way forward. And Corey Blake, being the resident New Warriors expert and runs the New Warriors Continuity Conundrum website, going to have him take over, and it's all yours, Corey.
All right. Well, New Warriors number 51 kind of kicks off the next sort of phase of the series. Fabian Nicizia has just finished the Time and Time Again event. And so this is kind of like an epilogue issue. And so, you know, it's trying to think in terms of Nova here. You know, he's obviously, I don't think I realized actually at the time these were coming out, but looking back at it now, like, he really was kind of the headliner of the book. Like, obviously it's not Nova and the New Warriors, but he really is kind of the probably highest profile character on the book. So even when he sort of steps to the side a little bit, he always comes back. And so in the next couple issues, he's not as prominent, but once Fabian leaves with his final issue, and Evan Skolnick takes over as writer, Nova definitely gets more of a focus for that first big story arc. But yeah, let's maybe talk about 51 first. Nova's in there a little bit. It is kind of a sequel in a sense to the first New Warriors issue with the Mad Thinker, all of issue number, what was it? 3, I believe. And basically, the Mad Thinker is kind of checking in on the New Warriors again and making sure that they're on the right path, because with this, the Sphinx at the end of Time Again, the New Warriors are now the celebrity superhero team, the big bell of the ball of the Marvel Universe. And so, Mad Thinker kind of wants to make sure they're on the right track and they're doing what they should be doing, which of course, why he's interested, we don't know. But yeah, but as far as Nova's involvement, it's not as significant. He and Nemri to get a little moment, a little scene, working on their little hot tub there, Nita's hot tub. And Nova and Nightthrasher argue a little bit over the direction of the team. But that's kind of it for Nova, really. What do you guys think as far as Nova or just the issue in general? What did you think? This is actually the first issue Richard Pace, the new artist, takes over as well. So maybe we can talk about that too.
Yeah, style-wise, I thought Richard Pace, I liked his style. I didn't think it was a huge shift, I guess, in the way the book looked. I mean, every artist has their stamp, but I thought Richard did a good job. It's a really, really kind of fun cover that he does for that first issue with the mashup of everybody's faces kind of in the big crowd there. And yeah, I like Richard's work. I really like the idea of Nova being star of New Warriors and the main hero that everyone should look up to. Well, just because, you know, I'm as a Nova fanatic. I don't know, though, that I always looked at it that way. I always thought it was actually a pretty good ensemble book, but maybe. I guess we'll have to talk about that sometime. Doug, do you think that Nova is the highest profile character in the New Warriors?
You know, I think he eventually did become the highest profile one because he most likely had the biggest fan base coming into the series. And like Corey said, once Evan took over the book, you do see a shift to Nova as the leader of the team. And, you know, Evan had mentioned in the interview with him a couple episodes ago that his whole plan was to have a big focus on Rich Rider, where he became a space knight and had tried to lead the team, with the lesson being be careful what you wish for in terms of one of being a leader of the team. So, you know, like Corey was saying, we do see that shift over to Nova. But I think for most of the series up through that point, I think it was pretty well balanced between everybody.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think, yeah, I think the way Fabian wrote it, it was done. I totally agree. It was an ensemble cast. Everybody was kind of an equal part. I think, yeah, I think I was thinking more in terms of the profile of the character sort of outside of the narrative universe, you know, and New Warriors proper. That yeah, he probably had the most. I mean, I guess you could argue Firestar because of the cartoon, but I think between, you know, certainly comes down to the two of them. And I'd say probably Nova a little bit more just because he has a little bit more of a longer legacy. So yeah, I agree. You know, as far as Richard Pace, I think he's wonderful. I was just looking back at the pages and just, he added so many little touches, you know, just a lot of playful stuff that adds a lot of character and a lot of personality to the pages. I was disappointed that he didn't stick around longer. But yeah, I mean, what did you guys think about the sort of the debate between Night Thrasher and Nova as far as the direction of the team and sort of, you know, and Mad Thinker trying to steer it in a certain direction? Did you think that they're coming too sort of established as a team or too, like, you know, too much like an Avengers?
I don't think that the New Warriors were ever intended to be Marvel's Teen Titans. I know that sometimes gets to be the comparison all the time, but I always thought the New Warriors were really kind of their own thing, and mainly the way that they came to be with Tom DeFalco going through an old Marvel handbook and trying to find as many characters as he could that were completely out of circulation, that hadn't been used for a while. I mean, Teen Titans was an appeal to, hey, here's little Batman, here's little Flash, here's little Wonder Woman, right? Whereas the New Warriors, they were always darker than the conventional kind of comics that were going on at the time. They were more, I guess, their youth was focused on, not just that they're little heroes, but that they're learning and they're trying to learn and they're trying to do the best thing. I don't know. I always thought the New Warriors concept was unique compared to some of the other younger superhero groups. And I really sometimes wonder if Marvel hasn't dropped the ball on that concept to really, you know, focus on that new part of the New Warriors and bringing in characters that are constantly kind of falling out of, younger characters that fall out of favor or fall out of circulation, and work them into that group. Because that's kind of what happened as the book evolved, is you got some new faces and some new, and the key was they were young, they were trying to figure it out, they were trying to do right. And yeah, they were never Avengers light either, because you can see, you know, some of the foes that they take on, they're taking on Avengers or better class villains as far as power levels go. So now, I love the New Warriors concept. I love the uniqueness, because I do think that they're different than Teen Titans. I think they're different than the Avengers. They're kind of their own jam based on all these personal relationships and the way they handle them. One of Marvel's great strengths is how these people play off of each other.
You know, it's very relationship heavy. And in terms of team dynamics of Nova versus Night Thrasher, I think that comes from personalities. Whereas Night Thrasher is kind of the Batman wannabe, where he's just driven by his mission against crime. Whereas Nova comes from the mindset of seeing the superheroes like the Avengers and your mainstream heroes growing up. That, you know, in his life, that's what he thinks superheroes should be doing. And I think as we're going into this stretch of the early 50s, that I think is where you're seeing the dividing point start to happen. Nova is wanting them to become a mainstream recognized superhero group, whereas Night Thrasher doesn't seem to care about that. He's still all about the mission. And I think as we're going along, we're going to see members are starting to pick sides, and the way they split, at least to me, made sense.
Well, I think Thrash is right. And I think and that's actually a really good point about Rich. And I think Rich Ryder, in this particular case, he's projecting his dreams. He's the one that always wanted to be an Avenger. That was kind of the go-to. So he's making that comparison unfair or not unfair as far as with the New Warriors or then their dynamic is what it's supposed to be. But yeah, he's kind of projecting his dream on the rest of the team. So I in this particular case, I don't always agree with Thrash. But in this case, yeah, the mission should be the thing, and that sense of family that they have should be the thing, and not necessarily trying to be all stars. There's could be a little something else different to Rich's perspective as a cosmic guy. Night Thrasher is a street level back alley, beat the bad guys into unconsciousness kind of stuff. And Rich has seen things in the stars that gives him a little different perspective of threat levels and things that they should aspire to be because of what else they can face out there. But they've proven their mettle. So I'm going to go with Thrash on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the arguments that was being made in the book was that's, you know, are they kind of becoming the establishment and that the team was always meant to sort of, you know, touch, you know, go after the kind of crimes that gets ignored by the Avengers and Fantastic Fours of the universe. And so, yeah, I think that was kind of among the debates. And yeah, I think Night Thrasher was like, yeah, we're supposed to like shake out the establishment. We're not supposed to become it. So, yeah, I mean, I think I kind of lean a little bit towards Night Thrasher in this as well, where it's like, yeah, that's kind of what I feel like the New Warriors is supposed to be is a little anti-establishment and a little more concerned about the common man and things like that. At the same time, they do have missions where they're fighting an Egyptian immortal who is turning all of reality into ancient Egypt and going into space and fighting a giant supernova. And, you know, so to Doug's point too, their book has a lot of versatility to it. And that of course affects who they're helping in the Marvel universe. So yeah, it's kind of, it's an interesting debate. It's a cool sort of philosophical debate for the team to have.
It is hard to be anti-establishment if you're saving the entire world.
Right.
Hard to avoid. You know, at that point, Thrash's point gets a little bit lost. It's like if you're fighting Terax, and if you're taking on Juggernaut, who goes one on one with Thor, right? You become the establishment the instant you're just saying, I'm putting everything else on the line to save the people around me, not just. And here's the only other thing I disagree with Thrash on is, does the Fantastic Four really ignore, you know, emergency calls, or are they busy with their own problems and their own thing? Are, you know, certain crimes being ignored by the heroes? I don't know. I mean, as far as the anti-establishment element of what they do, I think they're just like anybody else. If somebody needs help, they're going to help them regardless of whether they're popular or unpopular crimes,
right,
in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think too, what was going on with Night Thrasher in his own solo book is, you know, was kind of bleeding over as well, because he's sort of starting a storyline where he's really like, you know, I think after Silhouette leaves him for Bandit, then he gets a little cynical and a little, you know, kind of retreats back into his mission and is just like, this is all I'm focusing on now. And he starts throwing a lot of money at trying to solve problems and just kind of like, I think, loses a little bit of his humanity a little bit. And so that, I think, is a factor too when they're starting to kind of debate like, okay, well, what do we do now? Night Thrasher's just like, no, we're just doing what matters, you know, which is what he decides matters. And, you know, the family aspect of the team that he kind of is kind of bringing up in 51, it's like he forgets that later on. But we should probably get into those issues. So with 54, we'll skip ahead because he's not in too much in issues 52 or 53. That's a great two-parter that I highly recommend. It's a great swan song for Fabian, but Nova's kind of plays a backseat. We'll just skip those issues. But with 54, we have a new writer, Evan Skolnick, who we've seen his name before. He co-created Turbo, who's been a kind of a part-time member of the team. And I think he wrote one or two backup stories in an annual, I think, before this. And so this is his first kind of major take on the series. And he kind of jumps right into one of the kind of themes of New Warriors, which is addressing complicated issues. And so we go right into Rwanda, which it was a very unstable situation then. And I don't think it's gotten all that much better today. And so basically the New Warriors see that villains that they've run into before, Cardinal and Air Force, trying to help, are causing a lot of problems in Rwanda. And so they go in and run into another group of villains who defeats the team. So what did you think of this issue?
Well, we're seeing Rich kind of leading a little bit more here because as they're going in, he's immediately taken point on the attack. But I don't think he's quite developed the leadership skills that he'll develop, of course, years later. But it looks like he's right in there and saying, let's go get him. Maybe without so much having a strategy in place to begin with, which was, of course, you know, one of Night Thrasher's stronger suits.
Yeah, Night Thrasher is not on this mission. That's a good point. And so, yeah, Nova does kind of step up a bit. It's kind of funny because there's Justice and Namorita have both taken turns leading the team. And Nova is obviously a, you know, a capable leader as well. So it's kind of interesting that these five, with Firestar and Speedball, such a kind of leader-driven group. But yeah, he's definitely stepping up.
Yeah, and I guess maybe the key to kind of in that making mistake that the title of the story, Might Makes Wrong. It's a great title for the story. And Richard Pace's artwork continues to, I really expressive faces, really, really a lot of detail in his pencils and, you know, some really strong artwork.
And great, like layouts and things like that. And like yeah. Angles on his perspectives and stuff that, yeah, he's great. That's a great point. I hadn't thought about the story title. That's you're so right. That's really true. After they basically Nova is the only one that isn't captured by this new group of villains. And so the next issue opens with Nova waking up and realizing they've all been defeated and he's got to go get help. So this is Patrick Zerker's first issue as artist, and he is he remains on the series till the end, till the issue 75. And yeah, so this is basically the rookies, I guess. Dagger, Alex Power, Turbo, Darkhawk. He tries to get all of them in on this, and I don't think everyone's available. Sprocket as well is kind of starts to play a bigger role too. She's the helicopter pilot. Hindsight Lad too, of course, is in there. But yeah, this is kind of the team's defeated. They're totally wiped out, and he's got to try and rebuild them back up.
We talked about Richard Pace being a good artist, and I really like Richard Pace. But one of my favorite underrated artists of all time is Patrick. We'll go with Zerker. But you know, I really liked almost every single issue he did, and he did a lot of different projects over the years. And this was maybe the first time I got to notice him, but I really like his artwork. Just to not to get too much in the way of the story, but just how the book looks. Again, not a huge change. I mean, he obviously has a different focus on detail. I think Zerker is really good with armor and shiny surfaces and machines and kind of the technical, almost, you know, Kirby-esque sometimes with his machines and buildings. But anyway.
So according to Wikipedia, which as we know is never wrong, it's Zercher. I am wrong.
Oh, okay.
According to the little pronunciation guide, which again, okay. Who knows? But you're absolutely right. I mean, I've always kind of thought he has a little bit more of like a Neil Adams kind of influence to him in some of his like panel sort of compositions and things like that, and like character posing and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's fantastic. Of course. Yeah. He does Thunderbolts after New Warriors, and he's now doing, I think, a Savage Avengers, I believe. Yeah. He's totally solid. And what's interesting for him too, is that he came in on the series, and I just felt like I remember when Derek Robertson issue 26 was his first issue. And then as he went on, you could see the improvements. And I kind of feel like Patrick Zercher, that he pretty much just came in like fully formed. Like you can see improvements in him experimenting with panel layouts as he goes and things like that. But he just was like, he's just from go ready.
And we have a new inker. Actually looks like two inkers, McKenna and McLennan, which does give it a different look, I think. I really like Patrick Zercher's art. Very, very good. And I like Nova's portrayal in this issue, too. The first thing he does when he gets up, even though he had it just got his head clocked, is I got to get back in the fight. This issue seemed very much in a Rich Rider attitude of, okay, I got to get up, got people to save, I got work to do. And then we see that famous writer temper showing up with the news crew. But I do like the way he was written, even through that. It's not like he came off as a, you know, psycho crazy person. It's just he's angry. He's got his work to do. And you know, he doesn't want anybody, you know, giving any crap about it. And he wants, you know, he wants their help, especially getting the videotape and such. I think it was very good Nova portrayal. I like this issue.
Yeah, I think it's like kind of like there's a little bit of panic, right? Because he wakes up and he's like, what's going on? And everybody's right. Gone. And so I like how this story kind of, this issue kind of unfolds where he's discovering, as we are discovering, what happened. And yeah, there is some of that attitude because he's like, he's kind of freaking out a little bit. He's trying to keep his cool. I liked how this issue unfolded like that.
Yeah, maybe a little over the top with the anger. Of course, me, I'm always trying to be Rich Rider's personal anger management counselor. uh-huh. So, yeah, I thought Rich was a little over the top here, and maybe, you know, but yes, based on the circumstances, he's in a jam and he's being the overprotective big brother. So, it still fits, but maybe, you know, a little bit of a hide, and we'll work on that in our next session.
Well, he does get, when he sends out the call, the only people available is Turbo and Alex Power. Darkhawk is busy having his own solo series getting canceled, and Dagger is busy not having her own series with Cloak and Dagger. So they're much too busy not doing anything. But yeah, I like that though. You know, it makes it feel a little realistic that it's like, well, this is all we've got. Let's go, you know, and they kind of head in with what they've got. They certainly make better progress than the first time around. And then we go into 56. Counting is challenging. 56. I think this is Richard Pace's last cover. But yeah, they basically are able to free everyone but Namorita. But yeah, it's a tough fight. But they do kind of battle back this. So Undertow is the name of this group. I remember when I first read these issues, I got all confused. Like, wait, who's the group? Who's the person? There's Protocol. There's Undertow. There's these other underlings. Art, of course, remains really great. But they do lose one of their own.
You know, one thing I did want to point out back on 55 that I kind of noticed after we had moved on is his interaction with Hindsight Lad, which up to this point, you know, Rich hasn't had much patience with him. You know, he's pretty dismissive of him, which honestly always struck me as kind of odd, given how Rich had been bullied when he was younger. Where he was with Hindsight Lad, it always struck me as not Richard Rider-y for him to be so dismissive of somebody that's smaller and weaker. But 55, it seemed like a turning point in his attitude to him is, okay, I need to step back, take a deep breath, realize Hindsight Lad can actually contribute to what we need, and brings his expertise in instead of dismissing him. That was one thing in the issue that I actually did like. So I kind of wanted to swing back and mention that.
Okay, but as long as we need to clarify, is Richard Rider-y a verb or an adjective? What is that? Adverb? It sounds kind of like an adverb.
Sounds adverb-y. Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, Carlton, I think, was created to be annoying. And so I think Nova's response to him is sort of to serve that purpose, that to show that he's annoying and that he annoys people. And so, yeah, maybe it's not 100% in character for him to do that. But I think it could be just that he thinks it's irresponsible that he's even humored to be around the team anyway. But yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, this definitely is a moment where it's like Nova's sort of at a loss. This is it. This is his only option. He's got to go with him. And Hindsight is ecstatic.
And Hindsight Lad is born to be annoying. Yes, I will concur. I concur.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't say that derisively. The creators have said that. Like they.
Sure. Absolutely. And effectively, too, because you have to have, you know, you have to have tension. And if you bring in a new character who's purposefully annoying, that adds a lot of tension to the team. So, it's a smart move. And I know some fans have differing opinions, but I don't know. Sometimes it's a humor thing, too, because, you know, Hindsight Lad's going to do something to get under somebody's skin.
Right. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And here, like we were talking in 56, great cover on 56. Really like that one. There are times I really wasn't the biggest fan of blue skin Chimera, but, you know, a cover like that, I go, okay, she really does look menacing here. So, yeah, I really like that cover.
Yeah, that's a great cover.
It is. It is. I agree.
And especially that splash, the first page, the splash page, like, oh, that's nice. Big face full of Nova there, and he's in full, he's very Richard Rider-y. Great start to the issue. They're taking the battle to the bad guys, and really, really good stuff. What do you guys think?
Action-packed, fun issue. I agree with everything that Corey had said on the lead-in, and I even agree with Doug's Richard Rider-y description. Yes, no, it's yeah. Nova's definitely this. That's a Nova moment. Yeah, great opening, and I guess just overall, really, when I think, because now we've talked about all the different artists that have been on Nova and so far in our early volumes and in New Warriors. New Warriors really had a really good collection of artists. There wasn't any B team on it, and there wasn't any, you know, back corner stuff. They really put some top talent on the book because it looks great, this issue.
Yeah, I've always felt that New Warriors kind of lucked out on the artist. Every time there was going to be an artist change, I would get nervous because it's like, oh, geez, we're going to, you know, I always felt like New Warriors was the underdog book. And so I felt like, oh, we're going to get some, you know, some intern or something. The original series, virtually every issue looks fantastic.
Yes.
So yeah, so this issue they do get, I kind of like them being underwater and the submarine that they're in or the ship that they're under, you know, it starts leaking and just adds a lot of like tension to this whole thing and really serves as a good set piece to make it so that they can't get Namorita. Like it's the way it's kind of orchestrated is to fun, like you say, or action packed, but it serve well to get to the point where Namorita doesn't get saved with the rest of them. And he sort of has to decide, who am I going to save? Am I going to save Cardinal, whose armor is busted and he's going to drown, or Namorita, who can breathe underwater, but is going to get kidnapped by the bad guys. And he chooses Cardinal.
And I really do like that last sequence of pages where Rich, you know, of course he explodes in his Richard Rider-iness. So yeah, I like the way the issue ran itself out here on the last four pages. And I think this is the point where we're starting to see more focus on Rich Rider and Nova kind of, you know, becoming the central figure in the book.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that last page, even with him in the plane looking out the window, that sequence has always stuck with me. I remember reading this at the time, just being amazed, like, but they didn't save, like, what? That the story just ended and she's not on the book anymore because she's still captured.
Just to speak a little bit to the writing, because we've talked about Evan taking over the book, and you have kind of the godfather of the New Warriors and Fabian who's gone now, but Evan has a really good handle on these characters and who they are and how they interact, and takes advantage of kind of that family dynamic going forward, even when you're adding new faces to the mix, and some really tight action-packed scripts here that we've looked at in these first few issues of him taking over the book.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I mean, I think Evan Skolnick sometimes gets a little bit of a bad rap, and I think unfairly. I think you're absolutely right. It was clear to me from the beginning that he obviously cared for these characters and had their voices, and you know, I think he did a great job, and I think as we go, as this block of issues we're covering, you know, he gets more and more comfortable and more confident with these characters and the stories. But yeah, I think I kind of forgot how effective this story was, you know, with Namorita's, particularly the Namorita Nova kind of dynamic of them like kind of losing each other. So 57 and 58, well, 57 we should touch on, because that is kind of another sort of an epilogue issue. And so that's, you know, is dealing with the New Warriors having lost Namorita. They can't even find her now. You know, before they at least had a way to kind of track her down, but now that's gone. And so they kind of, Night Thrasher returns from his solo story. And Nova and Night Thrasher have a little bit of a butting heads, because Night Thrasher wasn't there to help out when Namorita, the whole team needed him. And yeah, this is where that split happens, where the team really has to make a decision, like who are you going to go with? Because the two of them are not seeing eye to eye. And so the cast kind of splits.
which is just funny because just 6 issues ago in issue 51, they were like, we're the original plus Rage are a family and we're going to continue on together. And now 6 issues later, oh, how things have changed. And that's not the case. And so Night Thrasher and Rage leave the book and Namor gets involved as well, which is, gives us a good fight for the issue. He's looking for his cousin. But yeah, that shuffles in the cast. So Rage and Night Thrasher are kind of out, and Alex Power and Turbo are now more permanent members of the team. So what did you guys think of this issue?
I really like that first page because it harkens back to New Warriors number one, except the roles are reversed here. But the art, oh yeah, that looks really, really good. And who's the colorist on that?
Joe Rosaz, who I think colored almost the entire series.
Yeah, that it's very bright, very nice, very good looking. The whole sequence where we're talking, 6 pages? The whole team dynamics are shifted and changed. And this is where Rich is taking the leadership role of the team. So then we get to see how is he going to deal with, you know, basically being the leader of the team. So, yeah, I really like that, especially that beginning sequence.
It is a good beginning sequence and really a very logical follow-up when you lose someone's family member, the elder family member looking for his cousin in Submariner to be unhappy. Of course, that's kind of what Submariner does, is be unhappy. It was a good, and probably was planned the whole time. I imagine when Evan was putting the story together, it's like, okay, so if you lose Nita, you're going to get Namor.
It's very logical. Like, yeah, Namor should be concerned that they lost his cousin. All right, it's great too. Nova versus Namor. That's, you know, pretty cool fight there.
Yeah, he holds his own just fine. But what I found interesting as the fight goes along, it's not so much Rich because he gets, you know, he goes flying off after getting hit. Then you have Justice and Speedball and Firestar, especially. They're using teamwork, really solid teamwork, to basically take him down. And then, of course, on the last page, you have Rich basically committing, saying, yeah, we're going to go get her and that he loves her. So, yeah, really good, solid issue. I enjoy this one a lot.
And Patrick Zercher's art, once again, I mean, he became an instant one of my favorites after, you know, this was my first experience of seeing his artwork. And then I tried to track him down wherever he went.
Any other thoughts on 57?
No, I'm good.
Cool.
Well, then we'll switch over here to Nova number 17 with a fantastic cover by Chris Moranin, where we see the appearance of Nova Omega. I don't think he's actually ever called Nova Omega. So, and on that cover, we see the title, The New Nova. And then we also have a new art team on here. We have Phil Gozier and Mike Mocklin. I remember Mike Mocklin's work over on Infinity Inc. I think his inking with Phil Gozier here is really good. I like the art in this one. I like the layouts. We are back on Xandar, where it seems Queen Adora is being consulted by the Shi'ar. And the punishment for Rich Rider disobeying orders earlier during Deathstorm are starting to come to fruition here. But then it seems like somebody else has some plans along the line. The Dire Wraiths are starting to make an appearance. But when we first see Nova, he is on Mars, bearing Nova 00, and heads his way to Earth. But he's already starting to feel the effects of what parts are starting to be put into place by Xandar. And what did you guys think?
Well, I mean, the cover art, like you talked about, fantastic. I thought the new art team did pretty well. We're making all these changes because we are getting to the bitter end of our Nova Volume 2. And really, for all the changes made, pretty good art, a pretty darn good script again. I think, once again, maybe Evan Skolnick is a little bit underrated for some of his contributions to Nova and the New Warriors legacy. But yeah, a pretty good issue and a pretty good setup for how things are, I guess, maybe in some way had been planned for Nova for a while, to kind of come full circle on some of his New Warriors stories that from the beginning of his New Warriors arc. I think it relates anyway, as far as what's about to happen next in our final two issues.
Yeah, it's kind of felt like a little bit of a, you know, of an epilogue. Yeah, I suspect they probably knew that the series was ending, and they allowed it two more issues to kind of wrap it up, is my guess, since the, you know, the creative team is entirely different. But yeah, I thought I liked how it kind of brought it closer to the two New Warriors. You know, he's worrying about Namorita. So this is clearly happening after that story. And then, yeah, he's getting attacked by this new Nova, and he's like, what and why? And, you know, but it's all because of the after effects of Deathstorm and his disobeying, and that, you know, that is kind of cool. Again, like, I think Evan Skolnick, he sort of like finds the reasonable next step and just follows it. Like, that's, you know, like, I think sometimes writers get too concerned about being clever about the next story beat. It's like, sometimes the next story beat is just the next thing that should happen. And, you know, and then he does a good job of making that a full story. So it's not just like, oh, well, the next thing happens, but there's not much to it. It's, oh, well, the next thing happens and it lasts this whole issue because it's a big deal. So yeah, I thought this was a good, it felt like a good continuation of Deathstorm, as well as feeling a little closer to New Warriors, which, you know, the Nova as a solo book kind of did to varying degrees throughout this period.
And, you know, the one thing that I thought was kind of odd, and I understand it's all being story driven, but it seems like it took, what, a whole issue for Rich Rider to be basically drained of the Nova Force. Whereas we've seen in the past, when he's lost his powers, it's pretty much instantaneous. You know, like ROM 24. Yeah, poof, they're gone.
Do you think that relates to the fact that Rich had been such a part of it for such a long time, and such a part of him, that he kind of got a fight? He was kind of fighting to keep hold on to it, and that he, I don't know, had the ability to kind of hold on to some of it when normally it would have been taken in an instant. But I guess I kind of like that he was fighting every inch he could to hold on to whatever he could for as long as he could, and he was able to do it. So maybe just you know, being Nova for so long, you know, he kind of, does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, that's an absolutely great point. I hadn't thought about that before. That, yeah, maybe his willpower is so much stronger than before, and his control over the Nova Force is so much stronger than before, that, yeah, maybe Adora had no choice, but it had to be pulled slowly.
So, right, in ROM, he sort of, he basically agreed to relent. And so he was sort of a willing participant in the surrender of his powers. Where here, it's, they just sort of are being taken from him. I mean, he kind of doesn't know what's going on until the end. And so it could be, you know, that could be a factor, as well as maybe the distance too. Like, he's on Earth, and maybe it's, you know, I don't know, there's a weaker signal. It takes longer to download the powers. I don't know. But yeah, I could see both of, you know, either or both of those being a factor.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of Rich being connected with the power so long that he got to fight it a little bit, or fight as best he could, even though he wasn't fully aware of what was going on. But I did like that it took that long, and the entire issue, for him to really completely lose that battle.
Right. And even story-wise, now that I'm looking through the pages, that even makes more sense, because the instances where Rich is fighting back, Garth and Saul is saying, yeah, okay, you're being helpful. You're willingly giving it to me now, and making it easier. So yeah, that even makes more sense now. Yeah, good battle there between him and Saul. I love that Nova Omega costume design, though. That, I think, if I remember right, Chris Moran and Ashley designed that one. But it's unique, and it's really, for me, I thought it was a real nice design.
Yes, he looked great. The design was great, but Garth and Saul's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he's from the Diamond Head School.
Yes, they went to the same charm school. Yeah, no, I don't like Garth and Saul. Just going to throw it out there. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, the costume looks good. He's a problem, Garth and Saul. He's a troublemaker.
He's unpleasant. He's
unpleasant. Unpleasant fellow.
And so they, again, great action layouts in the artwork here. Nice eye flow from panel to panel, page to page. But Rich, instead of just getting into a tit for tat, smacking each other back and forth, he starts playing it smart. He knows he needs to get back to Xandar and report that Saul's gone berserk because he doesn't know what's happening behind the scenes yet. Diverts him with a nice trick where he loads up the car with Nova Force and shoots it off, giving himself more time. And then he's able to, he can still make a Stargate just barely, and ends up on Xandar to find out it was one of those sanctions, as they might call it, by Adora. And I'm assuming a lot of that was probably driven by the Shi'ar ambassador that's with her. But just an excellent issue. Nice cliffhanger.
Yeah, and Rich did fight her orders a little bit. So I don't know if he totally deserved the fate that happened to him in this issue, but he definitely wasn't just jumping when she said to jump. So, I mean, I guess she had those kinds of issues too, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Did Nova deserve to have his powers taken away?
Yeah, that seemed a little extreme. I agree.
Considering all he's done for their world and such, and, you know, the infamous sweet cakes issue. So,
you know, you'd think there'd be some, like, you know, some, you know, disciplinary sort of progression rather than just like, oh, you're out. Like, you'd think there'd be some, like,
right,
you know, you're grounded, no more, you know, no more Xandarian pie for you, you know, some sort of progression.
Yeah, it did seem like a bit of an extreme reaction. So, and that's kind of I wonder if maybe the Shi'ar might not have been manipulating things a little bit. And, you know, another, you know, come to think of it, which I think we'll hit on when we start talking about New Warrior 60, the reason that those changes may have been instigated, particularly by the Shi'ar, is we start seeing something in the background's going to start happening with the spy satellites and such. So maybe this was to get Rich off of the playing field.
Yeah. Definitely. There were definitely some manipulations going on there. I agree.
Okay. Then we'll go on to 18, which is sadly the final issue. Again, another nice cover. I think we have the same art team here. We definitely have the same writer, Evan Skolnick. What'd you guys think of this one?
Well, for the final wrap up, I think the format, the way they did the issue with Rich recalling a letter he sent to his girlfriend, and the way they set it up, this kind of this epilogue, this kind of this final, I think for if anybody was a fan of Nova, some people, as we've talked about before, this was their first Nova series, and for it to end kind of in a classy way, kind of in with an homage, it was well done. I liked the last issue. I thought it was an appropriate ending for what was going on, and obviously the story wasn't over, and we'd get a continuing in New Warriors because, as we've also talked about, Volume 2 was a very tight knit woven in with the New Warriors series as a spinoff.
Yeah, I like that the format. It did give it sort of a sentimental kind of a send off, I guess, with the letter and most of it, basically the whole issue being a flashback to him kind of remembering as he's about to jump off a building to try and trigger his powers like Night Thrasher had done with him in New Warriors number one. So that, again, it was a cool, this is the second reference to that issue in that scene. And it's cool to see that remembered. And again, a logical thing for him to think of, like, well, I might be committing suicide, but I could also be getting my powers back. And that's more important to me is to get them back, which is, you know, I mean, that's like a tough sort of a call to make, you know, for somebody to say that. But it makes sense because of what he had experienced without his powers before, that he'd be in that place.
What about you, Doug? Do you think it's a Rich Ridery thing to do, jump off a building at the end?
You know, in this case, it does. Because like Corey pointed out, he knows what life's like without the powers. And being Nova is such an important part of his life, that he's willing to take that risk of, okay, this might be the best thing I could do, or it might be the last thing I do. I think as we go, as we're going through the issue a little bit, he's again, he's still so he's angry again. But in this case, it does make sense. He's lashing out at Saul, you know, and I know Don was okay that because, you know, he's a jerk. So
I would lash out at Saul every chance I got. Yeah.
Well, no kidding. Saul's a jerk. So he has to get the diamond head treatment.
Well, Corey's got a pretty good point, though, as far as, isn't it a little bit sad that that's the only value that he sees is as a hero, that just as a regular rich rider walking down the street, that, you know, he's not smart enough or strong enough that he can't contribute unless he has his powers. So it is, you know, there's that kind of that melancholy moment. I mean, as Nova fans, we understand because we want Rich to have his powers too. And maybe we're jumping with him. Maybe we're not. Maybe we think he's crazy. So, I mean, yes, we want Rich to succeed. He knows it's worked before, so he's not completely nuts. But where he puts all this value is all or nothing. You know, I'm Nova or nothing. It's a little bit sad.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I don't know if that's subconsciously driving him, but I just think he knows that he's good at being a Nova. It's what he was meant to be. And I think he's probably driven by the fact that Saul's his replacement.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically, obviously, as we were saying, is going to lead into New Warriors number 60. And the next sort of phase of his life, I think, is him learning that, yes, he does have value without having powers. And between 60 and 75, that's his journey, is to realize that he doesn't need to have powers to be a living human being. And he was able to contribute to the team during that period.
And you're absolutely right. He does kind of go on this little journey, especially in the beginning here. He's more focused on defeating Saul and finding a way to take Saul down so he can get his powers back, at the trade-off of not going after the Dire Wraith Queen right away. He's more focused on getting the powers back versus the bigger threat.
Yeah, so maybe a little crazy then to be jumping off a building.
Yeah.
So, you know, for some characters, say a comparison, because people like to do the Green Lantern versus Nova stuff, and just how different, how Jordan would jump off the building, because he's certain that by the time he gets to the ground, he's going to solve the problem. He's just that cocky. He knows he's going to figure it out. Rich is not so sure he's going to figure it out. So it is it's a little wonky. He's not Hal Jordan. He's not that guy that's super confident and super, you know, he has moments of swagger and then he has moments of doubt. That's Rich Ryder. So, it is. So maybe a little bit crazy, just, and that's why, as Corey points out, as Corey has seen the future somehow, Rich is going to learn his lesson and learn his value without the costume.
Yeah. And we see the Dire Wraith Queen making her appearance here. And she, of course, will be the big threat moving forward. And we end the issue with Rich saying, well, here goes all or nothing. And the letter is to go to Laura, and then off the building we go. Well, Corey, why don't you pick up here on New Warriors and we'll go into 60.
Yeah. So New Warriors number 60, featuring a foil cover, just to remind us that we are in the 90s, by Patrick Zurcher and Jimmy Palmiotti. And so this picks up right after the end of the Nova series, Turbo flying in and grabbing Rich Ryder from plummeting to his death after realizing that the trick was not going to work this time. Apparently, Night Thrasher has to throw you off. That's like the key element to getting your powers back, is if Night Thrasher's not there, it's not going to work.
Yeah, that's his superpower.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of a cool little bonding actually between Nova and Turbo here, where the two of them, while they're waiting for the rest of the team to catch up, they're in a little diner chatting. Nova basically re-events of the end of his series. And then, yeah, the rest of the team catches up and they realize that they've got to go save Garth and Saul, who's been captured by the Dire Wraith there. And so there's a big fight between them. And then, yeah, this basically kind of sets up the status quo for New Warriors for the next dozen plus issues, basically, with a powerless Nova and then Justice, Firestar, Speedball, Turbo, and Alex Power going by various names. And this basically introduces Volx, who's the Dire Wraith Queen,
into the series after she debuted in, she actually debuted apparently, and I never knew this, but she debuted actually in ROM back in the day in the 80s. And, yeah. And she, I think, had a few sporadic appearances, I think. But then this is kind of her return to then modern comics. And she will be the big baddie of the series at the end of the series as well. So, but anyway, yeah, what did you guys think?
Well, first off, going right back to that cover of New Warrior 60, I think it was Patrick Zurcher's, maybe his third cover, because he had done interiors for a few issues before he got to the chance to do some covers. Maybe this is his third cover, and it's awesome. I mean, foil aside, I mean, I know foil was kind of, but if we just look at the line work and ignore the foil for just a second, we can take our eyes off the shiny stuff. It's a brilliant cover. I love that cover. It just shows, again, just how powerful I think of a penciler that Zurcher is. And you've got Nova Omega, who looks like he could take on the entire universe, turning back against this Dire Wraith monstrosity and the rest of the characters. And just really cool cover to me. One of my favorite covers of the late era of New Warriors.
Yeah, it is a great cover. It kind of, you know, even despite the foil, it kind of feels like the foil was an afterthought. Like they're just like, oh, well, there's shiny stuff. Let's put foil on it, you know, because it just stands great as a normal cover.
So then we have Saul, who's being used by the Dire Wraith Queen to power the weapon that's going to wipe out the Earth, which I think is rude. She sure does like to take a lot of different shapes, doesn't she? I just look at it. It looks like she saw a picture of Norman Osborn and said, hey, that's what Earth people look like.
I mean, I guess that's the Dire Wraith, you know, bit, right? Is that they assume the shape of some person. But yeah, that is a very specific looking character.
Yeah, it's another shape-shifting kind of evil looking race. But yeah, it's alien. It's going back to that ROM series where you see the Wraiths and saw the Wraith Queen and stuff. So it's nice. It's kind of a nice little carryover to that series that Marvel lost the rights to, as far as being able to do ROM stories, and they had to do instead Space Knight stories. But you still got to keep for whatever reason, the Wraiths and the Wraith Queen. A pretty good. I mean, it's a powerful race and a good foe as far as power level quality, if you're looking for. But you know, the main thing as far as the antagonists for this story, it works as far as a decent threat to the team and to the Novas and kind of an overreaching cosmic power. So, I mean, yeah, do you have other favorites that you want to go to? But it's serial fiction. You're telling stories for years and years and years. And why not? Why not have a weird looking Dire Wraith Queen?
And, you know, one of the things I liked about that is Rich assumed that it was a Skrull, which, given his history with the Skrulls, makes sense. I like that they didn't just say, well, this must be a new race or this must be something. Rich went to what he knows. Like, well, she must be a Skrull. And then Saul has to explain that who she is. But like you were saying earlier, I do like that conversation that he has with Turbo. It seems like, you know, Rich kind of has reached that low point. And throughout this issue, we start to see him reassert his Rich Rideriness. He's still driven by, I think, taking down Saul and getting his powers, but I think he's also at this point, especially the conversation that he has with Vance of, hey, I don't have powers, but I can still contribute. And I like that. It seemed like that was those couple pages is where we start to see him turn to the point of, yes, I don't have my powers, but I can contribute.
Well, it's kind of, I don't know, for me, kind of returning Rich Rider to being who I understood Rich Rider to be, not the guy who's yelling at all of his problems, not the guy who's screaming, not the guy who's angry at the universe because he has superpowers and he can't do everything right. That kind of that overriding anger that took over the series, sometimes in Volume 2 and sometimes in the New Warriors, that this is literally kind of his coming back down to earth and being a little more humble. I like the day in the life moments that they have in the issue. And, you know, for Rich, without his powers, that's all he's got for right now, some day in the life moments, but still wanting to help the team, of course, and finding his value that Corey talks about, which will continue on. But yeah, for me, this is almost like a little bit of return. Like, hey, that guy who's, you know, he's not happy about losing his powers, but that sounds a lot like Rich to me.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is a good setup. It's kind of like, your series might be ending, but we're not done writing stories about you, you know, and even though you lost your powers, you're still a part of the team. And so it was cool that they didn't just sort of, superhero comics, usually it's like, if you're on the cast, you got powers, and it's like, they still use him. He's still part of the book. He's not like, oh, you're powerless, so you're pointless to this. We have nothing to, you have no, nothing to give to this as far as stories, so we should just shuffle you off. But he's still there. And that's cool, because it's kind of funny in a way. Like, Night Thrasher obviously has no powers, and it's almost like, ironically, Nova is kind of taking Night Thrasher's place while he's not really out on the field a lot, but he's still kind of remaining as an active member of the team without powers. So it's kind of funny that the two almost switch spots.
And isn't it inherently, I think, New Warriors, what I was saying earlier, my little New Warriors are great rant when I was talking about comparing it to other groups, is that was something inherently New Warriors, which makes them different, is, yeah, their friend lost his powers. He's still part of the family. They're still going to find a way to work together with him. He's not going to get kicked to the side. I mean, members come, members go. People get angry at each other. There are breakups, but it's still a family at the end of the day. And so to me, this kind of really captures the spirit of what the series was in this issue, number 60.
Agreed. Yep. And I, the action scenes as we're getting toward the end of the issue, where Saul breaks loose in this, double page action scene, I really like that. That good eye flow. The art looks really dynamic. I know we all think Saul's a jerk, but he had a nice moment here.
Yeah, you can still do good things if you're a jerk. especially if Patrick Zurcher is doing the art, then you look pretty good doing whatever it is you're going to do.
And then even as we're wrapping up the issue here, we're seeing, again, whenever Rich sees Saul, it seems like that kind of brings out his, I don't want to say meaner side, but his more aggressive side of wanting to, constantly knock at him. But then when they're explaining about Rom, I like that little reference. It's just, it's just that one sliver of a panel where Rich is going, Rom. Now, that's our name I hadn't heard in a while. So I like the acknowledgement of Rom 24. And I know it's a small thing, but I like when they have moments like that in comics.
Yeah, the editor's notes and the connecting to our Rich Rider of Volume 1 and that flashback to the 70s and 80s, that's really a cool moment, especially because if you've been there from the beginning, yeah, it's a nice nod to, hey, I read that. So when little footnotes and editor notes and just the little panel stuff is really cool. Yeah, great art. Kind of a overall, again, like I can't say enough good things about this particular issue, and I know it leads to some bigger and better things, but it's a good start to the next phase of Rich Rider's life.
And then we have the issue wrap up back at the crash pad, and Hindsight Lad, now going by Hindsight, he has a new costume. Justice has a new costume. They get the communication, the comm badges. He won't say how they got it, but another point where Rich is acknowledging Hindsight and acknowledging his contribution. So I think it went out on a good note. And then we kind of had a subplot start to develop here at the end with Time Slip. And that's where we kind of reached the end of that issue. Your thoughts on the end of that?
Yeah, this is, I don't think she's even has that name yet, but yeah, Rena Patel here, we meet as a college student, and she's having these visions of the future, which is always tricky to do in serialized comic books, because you might not be the writer long enough to make those scenes all line up, but he pulled it off. All this stuff, I remember when I get, when I read the issues later, when these scenes happen and it all syncs up. I think there may be one or two like little things that aren't quite syncing up, but overall it's pretty impressive to do anything where you're saying this thing's going to happen in 12 issues, and then to have the confidence that the exact same creative team actually is still in place then is pretty impressive. But yeah, it's cool to see. I think one of the criticisms that Elvin Skolnick got when the cast got kind of moved around was that a lot of diversity was kind of pushed aside when Night Thrasher and Rage. I think narratively it made sense that those two people left together. given the split between Night Thrasher and Nova, but that's pretty much the diversity of the team walks out the door right then at that point. So it's nice that Rena Patel brings some of that diversity, which I think the New Warriors has always had as a very natural element of the book. And is, for me, was kind of a big deal to see. So I'm glad that she was brought into the book.
Okay. And, you know, that's, I think, where we'll end things for this episode. I do want to thank Don and Corey again for their insights and friendships. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sweet Cakes signing out.
Final thoughts.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Xandar Radio. I hope you enjoyed it and look forward to receiving your feedback. Send your comments as a voice message and it may be played in a future episode. And of course, you're always welcome to send an email to xandarradio@gmail.com or leave a post at the Xandar Radio Facebook page. All avenues can be reached at novaprimepage.com/podcasts.asp. I'd like to extend a very big thank you to Don Lund and Corey Blake for another fun roundtable session. Now for the answer to the Nova trivia question. The answer is Arthros, a planet located in Sector 17A of the Negative Zone and homeworld of Annihilus, the leader of the Annihilation Wave. The next episode of Xandar Radio will be released in the first week of October with the latest Nova news, fun features, and a new Studio 64 session featuring an interview with writer Zeb Wells. Until then, have a blue blazing day.
This is the World Mind. I am taking back control from my human host. Xandar Radio is a Studio 64 production of the Nova Prime page. This program is the property of Doug Smith. Nova and other characters mentioned are trademarks of Marvel Characters, Incorporated. All rights reserved. Music heard in the program is by Chad Crouch. A link to his site and the license can be found at novaprimepage.com.